Man, I get more homesick for it every day I live here in this old world. This old world is a cesspool. That's what it is. It's become that more and more every day that we live. But aren't you glad you're not of this world? We're strangers passing through. Are you glad about it this morning? Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise if you love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're so glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate Brother Andrew's message. Wasn't it good? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a bit while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you come onto the platform, be getting ready to take us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Randy Scott said, let's remember in prayer the people of Indonesia, you know, the terrible earthquake that took place there. So let's pray for those folks in that part of the world. Also, he wants us to keep his friend Richie's mother in prayer, not doing well. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Brother Matt Carter says, please pray for our friend Wallace Keene. He took chemo for cancer and lost his sight in one eye. The doctors say it's a very rare reaction to the chemo. So they're asking that we would pray for that situation. The Lord would just be mindful. Sister Brenda Jones says that she has a unspoken prayer request she'd like for you to remember in prayer. Sister Connie Badillo, this is a great testimony. Let me read it to you. A little while ago, I put in a prayer request for a friend who was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. I also got her a prayer cloth and told her to wear it. I told her about the scriptures for the purpose of the prayer cloth. On Friday night, her sister told me that the PET scan that she had came back clear and the cancer is gone. Praise be to the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for that testimony, don't we? Brother Sam Wyko twisted his ankle yesterday while doing yard work. Please remember him in prayer for a speedy recovery. So let's pray for Brother Sam. I want to pray for Sister Jaden Harmon, who has strep throat. Let's pray for her today. Sister Estep wants to thank the church for praying for her sister who went through surgery last week. All is well, so they're praising the Lord for that this morning. Continue to pray for Brother Charlie Therese, still in the VA center, not feeling well, so we certainly want to continue to remember Brother Charlie. We miss him when he's not here, don't we? We certainly do. I want to pray for Sister Donna Ornduff. She's at the emergency room this morning, experiencing pain from hernias, so let's remember her as we pray today. I want to pray for Sister Victoria Thomas and family in Georgia. Have many needs that only God can work out, so let's just commit that to the Lord. Brother Wes Willis's uncle, Larry Young, has a septic infection and other serious issues in his body, so we want to remember him as we pray today that the Lord would be mindful. Addie Potter's CT scan came back clean with no issues. We want to thank the Lord and praise Him for His grace and His mercy and His healing and protection. Somebody say praise the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, I know there's many needs among us today. Aren't you glad you've got a prayer answering God? Aren't you glad you can think happy thoughts? It makes you feel better. Are you glad about that this morning? That's not just mind over matter. That's truth. Brother Keith turned in a testimony here just the other night. Happy songs, happy thoughts. Pain went away. He's feeling much better. He's here in service with us today, Brother Keith Phillips. So praise be unto God for His grace and His mercy. Let's stand together. We appreciate this guy right here. He went under surgery on, I believe, Monday or Tuesday of this week. Here he is this morning. You can't keep a good man down. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Amen. I got a good God. Amen. You know, He takes care of us, doesn't He? Amen. Good service we had last night. Brother Andrew preaching on a divine approach brings the divine results. Amen. If we keep that attitude, God do things for us. Amen. Somebody sent me something over the internet, and I thought it was good. It says, the only person who dares to wake up a king at 3 o'clock in the morning for a glass of water is a child. And I thought when I read that, the thing about our king is he don't ever sleep. Amen. Amen. Years ago, we had a preacher by the name of Joe Jack Rattlers that used to come to our church. And he used to sing that song, most seeks vexation, both for body and for soul. But God never takes a vacation. Amen. My God don't take no vacation. He's not on no trip. Anytime we need him, all we have to do is just dial 911. Our Heavenly Father. Amen. He knows our need. Let's take these requests to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church again today. Thank you, God, because you woke us up this morning to a beautiful day. And Heavenly Father, we just praise you for these people. Praise you for the service that we was in last night. For your Holy Spirit that moved here among us. Heavenly Father, today we come with your needs. And Heavenly Father, you know every one of these requests, every one of these needs. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, as we lift up these names before your throne, that you move right now to heal, to save, and to deliver. God, we pray for the one speaking today. Lord, that your anointing lips. Be with them, God, Brother Andrew. Be with our pastor, Brother Dying. Why is away from us, Lord? Bring them back safe. Bless this congregation, these people. Bless our musicians. Bless those that's visiting among us. Heavenly Father, we pray for those over the internet. Pray, Lord, that you'll be with them. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Praise the Lord. God bless our Brother Daniel. Appreciate him. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. Visiting with us today, we want to say welcome. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Brother and Sister Dooley are here. They're going to be leaving out, I think, tomorrow, headed back home to Canada. Brother and Sister Dooley, we want to say God bless you. We've enjoyed your visit here. Give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. All those that are streaming the service, we pray this service will be a great blessing to you. Let me make this announcement. There'll be a baby shower for Kaylor Willis on Sunday, October the 7th, 4 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. It's a boy. Register at the Amazon and Target. End of story. It's a boy. I guess you're glad about that, Brother West. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just glad that God's so good to us. Heard a little story. I'll tell you this, and we're going to sing a song. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Now, how many of you believe that? In face of all the adversity that you face, how many of you believe that? If you'll be bold, be strong, because you're serving the God that's with you. There was a man went into a Rolls Royce dealership to buy a new Rolls Royce. As you know, that's a really, really, really expensive car. And as he was getting ready to talk to the salesman, make the purchase, he said, by the way, how many horsepower does this Rolls Royce have? And the guy said, well, I don't know. I'll have to go ask the man that owns the dealership. So he went and asked the man that owned the dealership, how many horsepower does this Rolls Royce have? This guy wanting to buy it, he wants to know. He said, well, I have no earthly idea. I've never been asked that question before. So he said, I'll just call London. We'll find out how much horsepower this thing's got, if the guy just has to know. So he called London, and they sent back an email real quick in one word. Yes, adequate. The horsepower is adequate. Let me tell you this, church. Whatever you're believing in the scriptures today, it's adequate to meet your need. It's more than adequate. It will fulfill its promise. It will manifest itself in your life, the promises of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Give him one more big hand clap of praise. Player, buddy. Play it with all your heart. It's adequate. Is Brother Joel Brown here? Brother Joel Brown. Your hair's on fire.
Are you ready to take this land? Are you ready to take your land? For the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God is with thee. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord thy God. Walking in faith and a victory.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, walking in faith and victory, for the Lord thy God
is with thee.
Run into the camp, tell everybody,
and sing that a little bit of that for us. Anybody wants to know where you're going, tell them. Hallelujah. We're going up yonder. Sure as the world, we're looking at a rapture. Sure as the world, we're looking at a catching away. Are you? How many of you glad you're part of it? How many of you glad you're part of it? The rest of you can just content to stay here. How many of you glad you're part of it? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him.
I can take the pain, the heartache that it brings. I have comfort in knowing I'll soon be gone.
Oh, yes, we will.
As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian
race
until I see my Savior. Ask you where I'm going,
where
I'm going one day soon. If you wanna know,
come on.
on, church.
Where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
Exactly, where are you going?
Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes. Brother Gary Hara has got about a 5-minute testimony that he's going to leave with you this morning. And we'll sing just a little bit of that more of that song when Brother Andrew comes out. Now, Brother Andrew's got to make a quick getaway after the service today. He's got to preach in West Virginia tonight. So if you don't get to say hello or bye or whatever, pray for our brother. We love him, don't we? Brother Gary, we appreciate you. God bless you, buddy.
Well, first of all, I just want to thank everybody for your prayers. For Pete whenever he was sick, and always considering him, always asking about him. There's a lot I can say, but Lou's only giving me 5 minutes, so. And that's really not enough time to really tell about me and Pete, and it's really not about me and Pete. It's about our Lord. So, anyway, me and Pete met in Chicago years ago. When Brother Andrew mentioned last night about, he could be on a bar stool. Well, that's where the Lord found me, jerked me off the bar stool. And unfortunately, he never jerked Pete off the bar stool. So, I can't spend a lot of time on that, but I want you to hear, you kind of get the background of our lifestyle, and it was bad. Most of our friends died with their boots on, shot off the bar stools, and drunken car wrecks, and you just name it. But God is so merciful, and that's one thing I really want to emphasize, is how merciful, how kind, how generous He really is. So, Pete came here 4.5 years ago. His health was very bad. Me and Lona went and got him in Arkansas, brought him over, and tried to get his health back, but, it was constantly like this. He's always in the hospital. I never churched him. He came to church one time. He sat back there, and he said, I asked him later what he'd think about it, and he said, well, I kept looking up to the ceiling. And I said, why is that? He said, I was afraid it was going to fall on me. So that was his mentality, that was his mindset. He was never around church and since he was a kid. So when he got sick the last time, he had a blood clot, and we had just got rid of that blood clot. It took us 9 months. So when they took him to ICU, I went down there, and first thing he said when I got there, hey, buddy, have you talked to that preacher pal of yours? I said, no, I haven't. He said, okay. Well, the next day I went back up, and he said, hey, good buddy, and that's what he always called me, good buddy. He said, hey, good buddy, have you talked to that preacher pal of yours? I said, no. Do you want me to? Yeah, I do. And that's the first time he's ever asked for any help, So I called Brother Donnie, and Brother Donnie come up the next day. So we're walking down the hall, going to Pete's room. Brother Donnie asked me, he said, what do I need to know about your friend, Brother Donnie? I said, Brother Donnie, he don't know anything. He knows Bible stories. Just preach the simplest message that you could preach to him as far as salvation is concerned. Now, I did something Michael Bailey didn't get to do. I actually told Brother Donnie what to preach. So, I don't know why that came to me, but it did. But, so Brother Donnie comes in, and, you know, Brother Donnie's daddy had COPD, and he was on oxygen, so they had some things in common that they talked about. So finally Pete said, Louis, I'm hurrying, I'm trying.
Okay. All right.
Pete looked at Brother Donnie, and he said, okay, preacher, what can you do for me? He's a rough guy. I mean, he just says it like it is. Brother Donnie says, well, buddy, I can't do anything for you, but I sure can introduce you to somebody who can. He said, well, I didn't call you over here to jack the jaw. He said, let's get down to business. He said, I hope I hadn't waited too late. So Brother Donnie says, well, you're still breathing, ain't you? He said, yeah. So he took him from the thief on the cross and just preached that little sermon to him. What really gets me is the look on Pete's face. I'm sorry. But when Brother Donnie prayed, and he mentioned it here one night, the Holy Spirit filled that room. It was physical. You could almost feel like he was enveloping you. I'd give $1,000 right now if I could see the look on Pete's face. He'd never experienced anything like that. And you know what? That wasn't for me and Brother Donnie. That was for Pete. The whole time we were in going to Arkansas, bringing him back and taking care of his health and everything, it wasn't for his health. I'm convinced it was for his salvation. And God being so merciful to go that route. And the whole time I'm just thinking about, well, trying to get him better and whatever, you know. In God's mind, no. You've prayed for your friend for 50 years. I've witnessed to every one of them boys, every one of them. They're all dead. He's the only one that God gave me. So anyway, when it was over with, and I'll finish up right now. We got a message to take him to a pulmonary specialist. And the next day I went up there and he's gone. He's upstairs in a regular room. And so I said, first thing he said when I walked in, he said, hey, buddy, guess what? I said, what? He said, you know that ICU doctor that said I had another blood clot? Yeah. He said, well, he come up here this morning, and he said, hey, I don't know what happened. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. He said, that blood clot's gone. I said, Pete, where'd it go? And he said, well, you know, Pete, he always talked about God. He never would get personal with him. He'd always say, the man upstairs. Well, I'm thinking the man upstairs. I said, Pete, where'd it go? He said, the Lord. From then on, it wasn't the man upstairs. You know, it was the Lord. It was Jesus. It became personal. So we got this letter, you know, take him to the pulmonary expert over there. So I did. We've been there before in Kingsport. So I wheel him in the wheelchair, and the guy goes to the computer, and he said, oh, I see you got another blood clot. Pete said, no, I had one. And so he said, no. He said, you had one. We got rid of that one. And he said, you got another. Pete said, no, I had one. Well, now, Pete, I don't know if he had the indwelling of the Spirit right at that time or not, because you don't want to cross him too much, you know. So I didn't want to really give him that opportunity or give the devil the chance, so I jumped in. I said, well, sir, I said, what happened was, I said, our pastor come up and prayed for him, and I said, the Lord Jesus healed him. That blood clot is gone. It's not there no more. And you know, it's like a person said one time, science is here, God is here, way apart when they should be right here. And he said, well, we do get rid of blood clots, you know. And I never criticized his doctrine and abilities, but I'd appreciate him criticizing Jesus' doctrine and abilities. So I told him, I said, yeah, it took you 9 months to do that. And I said, you nearly killed him with the blood thinners. And I said, Jesus did it overnight, and it never cost him nothing. From that time on, the change in him was drastic. My wife can tell you more about it than I can because she was with him every day. He looked over at her and said, Lona, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I treated you the way I did. He'd come home from the Marine Corps. I was already out of the Marine Corps. He'd come home from the Marine Corps and he'd get me. We'd go off and do our thing, you know. Get in trouble. Lona locked me out of the house. I had to climb through the bathroom window. So, he apologized, everything, you know, when he kind of loses his temper a little bit, he always would apologize before, he never did. And so I know he was afraid of dying, and when he died, if anybody could have died, he was awake, alert the whole time, up until just a few minutes. If anybody, he was scared to death to die. And I told him one time, I said, Pete, I know you're afraid to die, but he said, I don't want you to say another word. He said, I'm not afraid anymore. He said, that is gone from me. And I'm going to close. If he said, if a person died any more peaceful to death, I don't know how they would do it. They just have to be in a coma. But that's what the Lord did for my buddy Pete. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Let's sing just a little bit more of that. Brother Gary, appreciate that testimony this morning. And we just thank God for grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Let's bring Brother Andrew out with a little bit more of that song. Where are you going? Going up yonder, ain't you?
I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Can take the pain, the heartache that life brings, the comfort in knowing I'll soon fly away. I'll be changed as God gives me grace. I'm gonna run this mighty race until I see my Savior face to face. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord.
Be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. Amen. That's where we're going. And ain't no devil in hell going to stop us. We will make it. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Are you happy to be a Christian? I feel like Brother Branham this morning, he said, if I wasn't a Christian, I don't know what to do with myself. And I believe there was a man one time
believe it was Brother Bosworth. He said, come to Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham, pray for me. He said, that same old feeling's on me again. He said, well, what's that? He said, I'm so happy in the Lord, I don't know what to do with myself. I tell you this morning, when you really get an experience in the Lord, no matter what comes, no matter what goes, you're happy in the Lord either way. Amen. Amen. I greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we'll go right on in the Word. We don't want to tarry here too long. We greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. We certainly want to say it's been an honor and a privilege to be here once again this weekend. I pray something was said last night that was a help and a blessing to you and encouragement just to keep pressing the battle. And I pray that the Lord spoke to our hearts. And we sure do appreciate Brother Donnie and his friendship and this assembly here. And always good to be back home. Amen. So we just love you all this morning. In the book of Hebrews, we'll look there. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 14. If anybody saw Brother Michael Bailey talking to me in the parking lot, he was telling me what to preach. So I think I got all my notes here, buddy. So no, I'm just kidding. God bless you this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul said, seeing then that we have a great high priest. How many is thankful for that this morning? That has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Paul says, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. He said, yet without sin. Now notice the approach. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Also, I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8. If you don't mind reading there with me for just a moment in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8. Do you love the Lord this morning? Paul goes on to say, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. In verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. So Paul here is exhorting the people to show forth, amen, the same diligence with full assurance. Notice not with partial assurance or with halfway assurance, but with full assurance of hope unto the end. So Paul here is convinced somebody is going to the end. Notice then he said that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And notice here in verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. Do you believe that this morning? Let's just bow our heads together. I wonder how many would like to be remembered in prayer this morning. God bless you. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we are grateful to be called your children. We are thankful, Lord, for the faith that is in our hearts. We are thankful for your mercy and grace. Lord, we are thankful that you woke us up this morning, Lord, with a mind to serve you, Father. Lord, you put a seed on the inside of our soul, Lord, that has been quickened by the power of Almighty God, Lord. And no matter what we go through, Father, as David said, this is my comfort in my troubles, that thy word has quickened me. Lord, to know that any moment, Lord, we could change, Lord, from mortality into immortality. Dear God, we take hope in that this morning. Father, I pray for every person here this morning, Lord, you see each and every need. Every hand that was raised, behind that hand there is a need. And Father, we pray that you would come, Lord, in a supernatural way. Bless thy people, Lord. May you touch us this morning, Father. You see, Lord, just suffering with my voice a little bit this morning, but Lord, I know you're still a healer, and I know you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Father, I pray you would give us strength this morning. Bless Brother Donnie, bless Brother Daryl, the meetings there, Brother Jewel, Lord. Lord, just be with him in those meetings. Bring him back home safe. Father, have thine own way in this service this morning, dear God, we ask. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, for we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Are you happy to be in church? Amen. I want to say that we love the Lord this morning, and we believe his word is still the truth. Amen. I want to take a thought here by the help of the Lord and maybe continue a little bit in last night, but I would like to speak to you upon perseverant believers obtain the promises. Perseverant believers obtain the promises. How many believes God has given us promises? How many believes that you're a believer in those promises? How many believes you're going to obtain those promises? What good does it do for God to give us promises if we're not going to obtain them? Amen. What good does it do for God to give us a message if we're not going to believe it? But rather, we know this morning that God has sent us a message knowing, amen, that no matter how hard the trials get or how hot the battle may be, somebody is going to patiently endure until they inherit the promises of God. And Brother Branham preaches a message called perseverance. He preaches it several different times, always taking it, I believe, from the book of Mark chapter 7. And Brother Branham tells us, amen, that there's a natural perseverance. He said then there's a spiritual perseverance. And if you just want to stop there for just a moment and think about the national perseverance, I think of how that the nation this morning that we live in was built upon perseverance. The nation this morning was not built upon the backs of slothful men or careless men or liberal. Amen. Now, don't get mad at me for getting into politics already. But this nation was not built upon atheists. It was not built upon homosexuals. It was not built upon agnostics. It was not built upon anything but the Bible. Amen. This nation was built by men who believed in the Bible. But you see, the nation is in the condition it's in this morning is because the perseverant people went off the scene and the slothful people came on the scene. And that's the same thing that happens in the spiritual world. Amen, is when people who are perseverant and has got a fire and has got a zeal inside of their soul. Amen, there's people that's dedicated. There's people that's committed. Hey, I think this morning, where would we be had it not been for men? Amen, that got a hold of this message with everything that was with them. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to our pastor there, Brother Roy. I said, Brother Roy, how many changes have you seen in this message? He said, well, he said, since I come in the message, he said, I've seen the two lords. I've seen the seven thunders. I've seen the Perugia. I've seen the return. He said, but Brother Andrew, there was one thing I've held on to. He said, I've held on to the Son of Man. He said that this message would produce the Son of Man. I thank God this morning that we've had heroes and generals and captains and soldiers like George Washington was to go out there and, amen, lead his people there into the icy Delaware to be perseverant. Brother said, why did he do that? Because he had the victory already in his heart. George Washington couldn't see the victory, but he had the victory in his heart. Amen. There's many times we'll not see the victory, but the victory's already in our heart by the promise that God has given us in the Word. Amen. There's somebody this morning that's not going to be a coward. They're not going to be a wimp, but they're going to be a real man. Amen. There's going to be real women that's going to stand on the forefronts of this battle. Brother, they're going to persevere through depression. They're going to persevere through sickness. They're going to persevere through disappointment, and they're going to obtain the promises. Amen. That God has given us. Christopher Columbus, I think this morning was another. Amen. I'm hurrying because I've got a lot of place to go. Amen. I've got a lot of ground to cover, so stay with me. Amen. Christopher Columbus was a man. Remember, said he was a man of vision. He said, now every perseverant person is a person of vision. They're a person that sees something that others does not see. Amen. They look at something by the power of the unseen. See, it was a bunch of people that got on the ship there with Christopher Columbus, and they said, Christopher, in just a little while, amen, you're sailing across this sea. In just a minute, you're going to be swallowed up by some serpent or something's going to sink this ship. He said, listen here, I know where I'm going. Amen. He wasn't paying attention to what they were saying behind him. He had his vision on what was in front of him. He said, Brother Bam said, when they asked him, sir, are you going to quit? He said, how can I quit? He said, I'm going to sail on on. I'm going to sell on. I'm going to sell on. He said there was a bunch of pullbacks and a bunch of scientific researchers there, but he did not care what they had to say, because the vision inside of his heart was greater than the words that was coming from the critics. Oh, may I say this morning that the vision of this end time message is greater than every critic. It's greater than every doubter. It's greater than every unbeliever. There is a people this morning that is not moved by the words of the critic, but they're moved by the power of Almighty God. Yes, sir, there is a people upon the earth that's not going to stop at the barrier, but by the Spirit of Almighty God, they will break the barrier by the grace of God. Stonewall Jackson stood one day talking about national perseverance. Brigham said, Stonewall Jackson stood one day, said he was asked, how can you stand with just a handful of men when the opposition is so great? He said, that's how I got my name, Stonewall. He would not budge. He know no retreat. He said, oh, I think this morning what we need is some more people that'll stand up on the convictions of the Bible and will not budge for anybody. Listen, friends, if you've got a friend that you've got to budge upon the convictions of this word for, they're not your friend. Amen. If you've got to budge upon the convictions of this message to attend a church, that church is not preaching this message. God needs somebody that'll stand like Abraham and will call things that are not as though they are, looking at the promise of the unseen. Yes, sir, there's somebody that's going to speak the word. Listen, the word in this hour is not retreat. The word in this hour is not bow down. The word in this hour is go forward. Listen, friends, if you could hear the prophet this morning, he would be shouting, go forward. If you can hear all of heaven this morning, it's shouting, go forward. Listen, friends, there's a host of angels encamped about this place, and they're not shouting or waving the banners of defeat, but they're shouting and they're waving the banners of victory. Little bride, you're going to make it. Little bride, you're going to be there. Yes, sir, Jesus said, if you believe me, then believe in the works. He said, if you do not believe, then you'll perish in your sins. Brother said, sometimes you're going to have to stand against opposition to believe. He said, oh, but stand there. Amen. Stand there knowing you're not standing in vain, but you're standing for a purpose. You see, in Mark chapter 7, where we left off last night, there was a Syrophoenician woman. The Bible said, Brother, let me just read this. He said, this woman, this Syrophoenician woman, she believed also this Greek. She said, Lord, he said, but first she said, thou son of David. He said, a Gentile has no hold on Christ by the son of David. He said, that was wrought through the King David to the race of the Jews. He never paid any attention to her. But when she turned and said, Lord, help me. He said, amen, that got him, for he was her Lord. He was not a son of David, but he was her Lord. He said, Lord, help me. That caught him. He turned, said, the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the master's table. That is true. He said, but that woman was so perseverant to receive the promise of healing for her daughter. She was willing to bear reproach to receive a promise for her daughter. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you are willing to bear a reproach that the word of God might be made manifest in your family, or made manifest in your home, or made manifest in your heart? Hey, friends, this is not a picnic. This is a battlefield. We are called to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He said those that follow him, they're going to suffer, but they're not suffering in vain. They're suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. I raise my hand this morning and I say, post it everywhere. I'll stand and bear the reproach for this word. I'll bear the reproach of criticism. I'll bear the mockery. I'll bear the making fun of, because I'm going to get my promise if it's the last thing I do. Yes, sir. Somebody is willing to bear the reproach of the word. How many is willing to bear it this morning? Amen. Somebody is willing to bear it. Notice, he disgraced her, I'm not sent to you. But that did not stop her. He said that was the first time that a miracle was ever performed on a Gentile. You see, perseverant believers, I wonder if we could see this morning, how many perseverant believers do we have here? Amen. How many perseverant? I'm not talking about just a believer. I'm talking about a perseverant believer. Amen. A perseverant believer, they look to the unseen. seen. They don't look to the seen. They look to the unseen, and they are led by the unseen. But I said, what's going to get them there is they're going to embrace the supernatural. Hey, 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 they're going to embrace the supernatural. You realize this morning you are not a natural people. You do not have a natural commission. You're not in a natural church with a natural message or a natural prophet, but the confirmation and commission has come. You're a super race. You got a super message. You got a super God. You got a supernatural power. Listen, friends, I believe with all of my heart, supernatural power is in this building this morning. There's a people here who is not embracing the things of the world. They're not embracing sin. They're not embracing Hollywood. They're not embracing the laws of this land. They're not embracing the compromising spirit. They're embracing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is leading them and is guiding them into all truth. I think of Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. Are you with me this morning? In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8, the Bible said that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. Amen. The Bible never tells us that Abraham questioned or that Abraham tried to figure it out, but Abraham heard the word, he obeyed the word, and he moved forward. Yes, sir, not knowing whether he went. See, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, which builder and maker is God. Do you realize Abraham was living in a city, but the foundations of that city was shaking? But Abraham was looking for a city. Oh, brother, I feel like preaching right now. Abraham was looking for a city that the foundations of that city would never be shaken, that the kingdoms of that city would never be given over to some other power. Listen, friends, I believe this morning in Hebrews chapter 12 that the Bible says we have received a kingdom that has come from God himself. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You say, Brother Andy, you seem pretty happy about that. Oh, yes, I do, because the world's shaken and she's fallen apart. But there is a bride that is building her future upon the streets of gold. She is building her future around the walls of Jasper. There is a bride this morning that is going to the city that Abraham saw. There is a people this morning that's going to stand upon the foundations of the four patriarchs. Amen. That Abraham stood upon. Do you believe that this morning? There is somebody, amen, that's going to persevere. He looked. So Abraham wasn't casual about this thing. There's a word there I like in Hebrews chapter 6. That word says slothful. That word slothful comes before Hebrews chapter 11. And do you realize that those patriarchs, or what we call those heroes of faith, they did not get in Hebrews chapter 11 by being slothful. They did not take on the garments of slothfulness. They were not robed in the garments of carelessness and come to church whenever it was convenient. Well, preach, brother. Thank you. I believe I will. Amen. There was something about them that they were willing to suffer. They were willing to go through trials. They were not going to get slothful. Let me tell you something. I tell you what the devil wants to do. The devil wants to take us and make us a bunch of slothful people. The devil wants to take us. He wants to make us very careless. And let this word become common to us. But how many will say this morning, this word means everything to me. I refuse to get slothful. I refuse to get lazy. I refuse to get careless about this thing. This is my life. If I lose this, I lose my life. Oh, but if I hold on to this, it'll hold on to me. It'll take me out of here someday. You say, Brother Andrew, that's Abraham, that's Abel, that's Sarah, that's Rahab, that's Joshua. I believe if they wrote another book of Hebrews today, I believe I'm looking at the people that would feel the heroes of faith. I believe I'm looking at men and women that would be put right there next to Abraham, would be put right there next to Sarah when the doctor said you would never have a child. But the same God that confirmed the promise to Abraham and Sarah confirmed the promise to you. And you sit here today as a witness. Come on, church. This thing is not a myth. This thing is not imaginary. This thing is real. There is real people with real testimonies, with real power, with real miracles, with a real God. confirming the promises of His Word. You see, God has provided a way. I want to just stop here and say this morning that Satan is still Satan. Humans are still humans, but God is still God. Yes, sir. Satan is still Satan. Humans are still humans. God is still God. Satan is still lying. Humans are still compromising. But God has never changed. I'll tell you, Satan is fighting like never before. I believe with all of my heart that even our very national statistics are declaring that Satan, that Lucifer, is the god of this evil age. I believe it's being declared from the White House. I believe it's being declared from the political offices. I believe it's being declared all around the world that Satan is the god of this evil age. But on a hillside this morning, I believe there's some seeds of God, and it's not dropping the banner of love down, but they're lifting the banner of love up. And though it's hard to hold this banner up, there's something inside of you that says, I'll stand for my God. I'll stand for Jesus Christ. I'm not standing for Buddha. I'm not standing for Muhammad. I'm standing for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain from before the foundation of the world, that stood for me when nobody else would stand for me. You see, this is the time. This is the time to stand. Look at somebody and say, stand. It's time to stand. It ain't time to quit. It's time to stand. I'm happy this morning. I'm happy to announce that there's someone upon the earth that is going to achieve these promises. Somebody upon the earth is going to stand, and they're going to obtain the future home. Somebody is going to obtain a new body. Somebody is going to live in Satan's Eden, and they're going to keep their right mind. Somebody is going to walk in the middle of such a muck and mire world, and they're going to hold a testimony. I won't bow to your laws. I won't bow to your creeds. I won't bow to your compromise. I may be a teenager, but my God fills teenagers full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody is going to stand. Surely you don't believe that with all my heart. Yes, sir. I believe it like Paul said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water of the Word. Oh, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Oh, I could stop right there and shout. We realize that He that done the promising is the one that is faithful. Yes, sir. I just want to read this quote. I hope it don't ruffle your feathers too bad, but if it does, God bless you. In the Western world, after the church age and denomination, He said it's ceasing and it's dying. And Brother Bram said, thanks be to God for that. A prophet got happy when he seen the strongholds of men's ideas dying and rotting away from the people. Oh, he said, thanks be to God for that. Brother Wes, he said, but we're coming into that real age now. What was a prophet saying? He was saying, we're coming into an age of reality. We're leaving the age of myth. We're leaving the age of ideas. We're leaving the age of men's strongholds. We're moving into a place where the greater than Solomon is standing in that provided place. Oh, you might not want to believe that. He said, because I'm not a bishop or I'm not some cardinal. He said, but remember, God doesn't always use bishops. God doesn't always use cardinals. He said, sometimes He used fishermen that are ignorant but will open their mouth and will declare what God is putting on the inside of their mouth. Oh, I'll tell you what He said. He said, I'm not a cardinal, but I'm your brother, and I believe that's the truth. Hey, I'm not your cardinal, I'm not a bishop, I'm not a pope, I'm your brother, and I believe that's the truth. I was listening to a tape the other day, Brother Tony. I've heard Brother Bev say it over and over and over. He'd say, amen, that means so be it. Now, I'm not amening myself. He said, but amen means so be it. And he said, what I'm saying, I believe, so amen. Brother, that struck my heart. A prophet. prophet wasn't preaching something that he himself did not believe. He was preaching something that he said, I'm so glad I can gather my wife and children around this message and build my home upon the foundation of this message and know that it's stronger than any bomb shelter that's in the world. What about it this morning, brothers? Aren't you thankful that God has sent you a message? You can build your life and build your home and build your family, not upon the shifting sands of some man's idea, but upon the solid rock, which is Christ Jesus. And upon that rock I'll stand. Whenever rock gives way, my house and family will stand for the Lord. Yes, sir, somebody is going to stand in this age of reality. I'll say it like Paul said, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. Let me say it this way, be not weary in well-doing in the battle. Because the divine promise is, we shall possess the kingdom. Oh, I tell you what, we got protesters coming out of the closet like crazy. I was coming to church this morning. They had a tent up there. One said Trump's coming. One said Trump's leaving. Who knows? His age has got so low. I mean, if you blink at somebody wrong, they get a sticker and go out and march around the block. You know what they're doing by marching? They're trying to make a statement for what they stand for. Hey, before the protesters got here, there was some forefathers singing, oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. You say, Brother Andrew, what are you marching for? I'm not marching for Trump. I'm not marching for Obama. I'm not marching for his mama or his daddy. I'm marching for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'll tell you where I'm marching. I'm marching right out of Laodicea into the New Jerusalem. I'm marching right out of this compromising, sin-loving, perverted world and marching into the presence of my King, where he will be King of Kings and he'll be Lord of Lords, and there'll be nobody that'll tell me to shut up. There'll be nobody that can take him off of his throne. Brother Joel, I'll be on the throne with him. That's where I'm marching, brother. Where are you marching to? I'm going to possess this kingdom. Daniel chapter 7. If you got time, go read it. I'm having a good time this morning. Daniel chapter 7. The Bible said Daniel saw a vision of four beasts and of a ram. If you read that, Daniel saw that vision. He saw that beast. He saw that lamb, or that ram rather, rise. He saw it producing and leading to a war. Daniel writes this. But he comes to verse 18. He looks upon all the negativity. He looks upon the beast, upon the ram, upon the coming war. He looks at all of it. Brother Wes, he comes to verse 18 and says, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Oh, I feel like shouting right there. Daniel saw a war. Daniel saw trouble. Daniel saw trials. Daniel saw situations. But Daniel also saw you. Don't you see why Revelation 10:7 said, when the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. Do you realize what he's doing? Who else besides William Branham quoted Daniel and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Jonah and all the prophets of old? He was fulfilling the scripture. Daniel saw you. Jeremiah saw you. Ezekiel saw you. All the prophets of old saw this day coming, and they longed to stand in this day, but they never got there. But hey, I'm here. Yes, sir, I'm here this morning. I'm in the place that the prophet saw me standing, in the presence of Almighty God, rejoicing and feeling vision and feeling power, Holy Ghost power, supreme reality. Oh, if it's the last thing I do, I'll possess the kingdom. I'll possess the kingdom. What about it this morning? Brother Andrew, is it going to be hard? It's going to be hard. But Daniel also goes on to say, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times, laws, but they think of what he thinks he's going to do, and shall give into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of time. Now, Daniel says he's going to try to wear out the saints. You see, when you get somebody in a worn down condition, it's a whole lot easier to get the victory. When you get somebody burnt out with church, when you get somebody burnt out with all the pressures of this world, it's a whole lot easier for Eve's interpreter to get down in the womb of the soul, the spirit, and begin to drop seeds of doubt and unbelief. Well, what good is church getting you anyhow? What good is three services a week? Hey, you go to church with people that only goes once a week. Yeah, it's working. What good is paying your tithes getting you? What good is fasting? What good is prayer getting you? See, you've been praying for years for this to happen. But the thing is, you don't know when it's going to happen, so it pays to be prayed up. There's a preacher told me one time, said there was a lady, said he was preaching on your husband getting saved. He said your husband can get saved. It don't matter how long he's been out of church, what kind of condition he's got in his life, the Lord can save your husband. Brother Joel, he said something struck her heart. She went to shouting, went to dancing for two nights of that meeting. She run around the building screaming, he's coming in, he's coming in, he's going to get saved, he's coming in, he's coming in, he's coming in. On the third night of that meeting, a man comes to the altar and said, I've been coming to this church years ago, quit, got married, and I've been a rascal on my wife. Said she believes I'm going to get saved, and the Lord told me tonight's the night. He said, I'm giving my heart to the Lord. You know what that woman did? She just stood there with her hands raised and kept on singing. That preacher went to her. He said, somebody wake her up. She's got to be in a coma. Said she's been shouting for two nights. He's going to get saved. And here he is, and she's just standing there worshiping. So they asked her. They said, sis, don't you realize your husband got saved? She said, yeah, I've been shouting two nights in advance. I'm just resting on the promise tonight. The devil will not wear a perseverant believer out. He'll wear a make-believer out. He'll wear a coward out. He'll wear anybody out, but he will not wear a believer out. He will never, somebody say it, he will never wear a son of God or a daughter of God out that's got a promise from their father. It won't happen yesterday. It won't happen today. It won't happen tomorrow. Hey, it'll never happen. Because we're not made out of the stuff that bluffs. Wear out the saints. Harass them constantly. Harass them. The biggest harasser you got's the devil. Well, I'm having church. What are y'all doing? By wars, by massacres, by inquisitions, persecuting, destroying the faithful servants of Jesus, the true worshipers of God, who protest against his innovations. So in the last days, there's going to be some people that's going to protest the innovations that's coming from the Antichrist spirit. So they're not going to bow down and just say, oh, Jesus. They're not going to bow down and just say, well, Brother Branham said it this way, but what he really meant was, it's just a one-man message. We don't need preachers no more. We just need to push play. Because God pushed play. Yeah, God did this morning. Early in my soul, he started pushing play.
Go preach that and go preach that. And go, brother, you say, what are you feeling? I'm feeling the pulsation of the finger of God. Come on, church. God, if God, oh, they've got so many confusing ideas on. We've got plumb as bad as a Baptist. Amen. We got this doctrine, that doctrine. When is somebody going to stand up like they did in the days of Paul? When there was men that stood in the days of Paul that was preaching things they knew Paul didn't say, they pointed their finger in their face and said, you're a liar. That's not what Paul said. Hey, I may be sink or swim, but I've come to a place in my life and my ministry, I'm going to stand and say that's not what Brother Branham said. Say it. That's not coming from the message. It's coming from the enemy. This ain't playtime. This is war time. This ain't coward time. This is soldier time. This is time for somebody to say, get out of my way, Dathan. Get out of my way, Cora. Get out of my way, Janice. Get out of my way, Chamber. Get out of my way, Ishmael. I'm going to receive the promise. Yes, sir. Oh, they've got new rules of practice. Instituting new modes of worship. What was wrong with the other one? What was wrong with coming to church and singing some songs and creating an atmosphere? Praying over prayer requests? Having specials? Having a John the Baptist come out and stomp all over the devil. Preach the power of God. People shouting and dancing and rejoicing. What's wrong with that? I'll tell you what's wrong with that. The devil took that and tried to warp it and put a hush on the church. To where the devil says now, well, there's been so many people shouting, Brother Terry, they got out of order. Because one person got out of order, now they think everybody's going to get out of order. Well, Brother Andrew, you see the Pentecostals, they shout and carry on. We don't want to be identified with them. Listen, we was shouting before the UPC church organized. Brother Branham said we was shouting in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world. We didn't start shouting when we come this message. We was shouting glory. We was shouting in the mind of God from before the foundation of the world. Oh, brother, I'm going to preach. I'm going to bust this morning. I'll tell you what's the truth. If a bunch of bobbed-haired, painted-faced women can shout with so much makeup on they can't even hold their heads up, you tell me what's the matter with a son or daughter of God rejoicing and praising God and shouting. This ain't a bunch of short-wearing men. This ain't a bunch of sissies. This is redemption. This is redeemed sons and daughters of God that's been bought with a price. They've been saved. They've been filled. They've been changed. Everything about them is different. Don't bring me Lucifer's worship. Don't bring me Cain's worship. Bring me the worship of the King. Oh, hallelujah. Well, Brother Andrew, something might get out of hand. Yeah, it might get out of your hand. That's a good thing. I believe it. You say, what are you getting happy for? I'm getting happy like Job got happy. Abraham said, God revealed to Job he was going through a purging to receive a blessing. He was going through a purging to receive a blessing. You see, it's not whether Job held out. It's whether God held out. You see, it's not just any kind of love. It's elective love. It's not just any kind of grace. It's unmerited grace. You see, it's the very character of Jesus returning upon the earth in a bride form body. Oh, I mean, I know there's people get... Oh, I'm having a good time. Brother Greg, I know people go plumb crazy and say, well, Brother Branham made passing comments. Let me tell you something. Brother Branham didn't make a passing comment in the rising of the sun when he said, this is the bride coming of Christ. That wasn't no passing comment. That was the fulfillment of from Genesis to Revelation. That was a prophet standing up on the earth and saying, this day, Ephesians 5 has been fulfilled. Oh, brother, somebody better come get me. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Let me tell you something. We're not looking for scripture to come. We're shouting. We're rejoicing in the fulfillment of the scriptures that God said would be fulfilled in this day. Oh, he said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. He said, in the last days, as the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust and the caterpillar eat away the victory from the church, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will restore this day. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in Happy Valley. Hey! Blow after blow after blow has tried to take it away. Blow after blow after blow of Satan's poisonous breath has tried to breathe it and blow it out of the church. But wave after wave after wave after wave of the Shekinah glory has been coming in the church. Oh, praise God. The devil thought he had you. He thought he had a grip on you. But then all of a sudden there come a wave that said, house of hell, give way to the name of Jesus Christ. And the wave of Shekinah glory, it literally crippled the devil's hold. Hey, 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 church this morning, the devil's not got one right. The day of sin is over. The day of slavery is over. Victory has come to the church. Holy Ghost power has come. Reality has come. Denominations are dead. The world is dying. But the bright age is on right now. Glory to God. Devil ain't taking it from me. Blow after blow, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. But God will not suffer them to be tempted more than they can handle. You realize Miriam takes the testimony on the sea. Glory to God. He takes the testimony on the sea. I'm trying to behave. You say, what's the matter? I'll tell you what's the matter. These cold, creed, dead, formal ideas around this message ain't got no hold on me. I may not be smart. I may not be educated. But you're looking at one dumb hillbilly that's dumb enough to say what a prophet said and watch the power of God come behind it and vindicate it service after service. Oh, I'm telling you this morning, it's more than just on the pulpit. But the pillar of fire is here this morning to fill this building, to fill every vessel, to charge every life. I'll tell you what, you may be like them on the sea that morning. Persevering. Come into a storm. Talking about Jesus. Oh my, 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 my. Satan's buffeting the ship. Blow after blow after blow after blow after blow. You get through one trial. You're either out of a trial, in a trial, coming out of a trial, or in between trials. This is the trial time. The trial time don't start when you get in your theophany. If you think that, you've listened to who is this Melchizedek wrong. The trial time begins in the bypass. February 1965, go look at it. It's a powerful tape. Most people don't like it, but I love it. But Brother Bram said predestination's in plain view. Oh, preach somebody. Brother Bram said, now I'm going to show you there really ain't that much difference between you and Jesus. Oh, listen here, chicken. Go cluck if you want to. But this ain't a house. This ain't KFC. This is an eagle house this morning. This is eagles this morning. We ain't clucking through the barnyards of bones of Billy Graham, bones of A.A. Allen, bones of T.D. Jakes. We're feasting on the carcass. The eagles have gathered there this morning to receive some manna that'll change their bodies. Hey, I believe it this morning. Blow after blow. And Brother Bram said, the testimony meeting's dying. He said, but it took one perseverant person to say, somebody, go wake Jesus. Somebody, go wake Jesus. Brother, they've just been testifying about Jesus. Man, did you see him when he walked over there? Laid his hand and the sickness vanished. Did you see him when he took that fish and that bread and fed 5,000? Did you see him? And then all of a sudden, you can look spiritual if you want to. But I guarantee you, they did some talking before somebody got enough strength to get up and go ask Jesus, would you wake up? We've been following this man. We've seen the miracles. We've seen the testimonies. We've seen the power of God move. And now we're in a storm and we're afraid. But all it took was one person that said, if I perish, let me perish, but I'm going to see the King. Oh, I'll tell you this morning, Esther, is there an Esther in the building? Is there an Esther in the building? Esther was in a terrible time. She was in a terrible time. She was having trouble. She was having trials. She was having situations. She was having all kinds of things. But there come a time that her people needed help. There come a time that she needed help. Brother Wes, I can imagine she walked up there. In Esther chapter 4, you can read it. Can you imagine how nervous she was? Can you imagine when she went in there? Brother, if that king didn't get the scepter and bless her, she was dead. If that king got the scepter and blessed her, she was okay. Listen, she wasn't no coward. She wasn't no slothful person. She was a perseverant believer that had a promise. And I heard a prophet say, there's nothing that can stop a child of God on the road to meet a promise of God. Esther goes walking. Maybe she's nervous. Maybe she's all tore up. All of a sudden she gets there. Oh, can you imagine? They said, Esther, you better think twice about quoting what that prophet said. Esther, you better be careful. We had a schoolmate went to school with us here, and she married into a Message family, and they're over at that crazy church up on the hillside. Esther, you better be careful. But I tell you what Esther was like. Esther was like that Queen of Sheba. That Queen of Sheba had been in a church for years and had never seen a move of God. But since she went to her priest one day, he said, now notice, he said, he gave a sign to Jonas through the resurrection. He said, then he comes and says, and a sign shall be given of the wisdom of Solomon. Notice this. He goes on to say, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. For the Queen of Sheba traveled to see and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Brother Bram said, now notice, Jesus gave her an immortal name. Brother Bram said, Jesus gave her, he first said infallible. He said, no, not that, immortal. He said, and the immortal name says this, that in the last days, she will rise and condemn Dallas, Texas. She will rise and condemn the United States of America because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. But a greater than Solomon is here, and he said, we can't get people to cross the street. Brother, it amazes me. We got people in the message. We got streaming. We got CDs. We don't have videos no more, do we, Brother Jim? Cassettes. We don't do cassette. Okay, we got CDs. We got streaming, archives, CDs, DVDs, MP3s, and people still 10 months behind on what the pastor preached. That's free of charge. She was so perseverant. Brother Bam said she went to the priest one day who was sitting up on his throne. I'm hurrying. I'm coming to a close. He was sitting up on his throne one day, the priest. She come walking in there. She said, sir. Brother Bam said, faith come by hearing, and she had done heard too much. Oh, I tell you what's the truth. There's a people upon the earth that's heard too many tapes. They've heard too much of that eagle scream. Swallow this bunch of nonsense now. You say, well, Brother Andrew, they just hate me because of this. They hate me because of that. No, they hate you because you heard too much and you can't be deceived. She walked in there. She said, excuse me, Mr. Priest. Mr. Priest looked over at her and said, yes, my daughter. She said, I hear down there in the Sahara. I hear over there in Israel, there's something happening. There's a man over there that's got to give. Brother called it Solomon's age, Solomon's millennium, and Solomon's revival. He said, now notice, he said, Solomon was the son of David by the flesh. Jesus was the son of David by the seed. Notice this. He said, watch. He said, there's a greater. Oh, I'm whoo, the wheels are done turning now. He said there was a blasphemy to speak a word against the flesh. He said that'll be forgiven. He said, but the Holy Spirit to speak one word against that greater Solomon, which was coming through Jesus, the Holy Ghost. He said there is no repentance for that sin. Listen, friends, we better be careful when we speak against a God called office. I don't care what kind of spirit of prophecy you think you got, what kind of visions and dreams. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it didn't come from God. It didn't come from this message. There's only one place it came from. It came from the pits of hell. Oh, it's just coming and you're getting it. There's a church here. I'll tell you why the devil hates you. The devil hates you because you've had too much word preached to you to be deceived by his devices now. Oh, when I stand here and think about, can I just talk about my life for a minute? I stand here and think of messages I heard preached by Brother Donnie growing up. Terrible is an army, Satan's key of fear. Brother Terry preaching, keep out of Egypt. Brother David's messages, Brother Daryl's messages. All these men of God, Brother Gene, Brother West, every preacher, Brother Joe. Listen, somebody, it's time to get your head out of the internet and what they're doing around the world. Listen, if they're going to play tapes and die, let them play tapes and die. But I'm not going to die when there's a God somewhere that can bless me, that can heal me, that can feel me, that can seal me, that can save me, that can rejuvenate me, that can heal my body. I ain't got no time to sit and argue. Argue if you want to, I'll just keep on preaching. Doesn't hurt too much. You've done met the king. People left Baptist churches and persevered right beside three gods, which was a false doctrine. People left Pentecostal churches, persevered right beyond Brother Joel, tongues being the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because they weren't afraid to identify it was a dogma. It was a man-made idea. But now, because they come in the message, Oh, God, I'm going to get in trouble, sure as the world. Brother Terry, you preaching Wednesday? You or Dave Seiler's got a lot to straighten out. Who is preaching Wednesday? God help him. I'm going to try to get out of this real quick, okay? We persevered by things out there and said blasphemy, man's ideas, but because a certain name is put beside the false doctrine. Listen, if it don't matter what name's beside it, if it's a false doctrine, it's a false doctrine. The flesh, the name, the church does not change the spirit of what's being said. And I tell you this morning, if you can persevere beyond all the ideas of the denomination, surely to God you can persevere beyond all the nonsense around this message. Your pastor's preached too much word. She heard too much word. She went to the priest and the priest said, "Now come here, my daughter. You've been in this church since you was born. Your great, 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 great grandpa told me his family would never leave me. You see that? See that cornerstone down there? He helped me lay that. You know this is where you belong. Remember," said, "she got up and walked out. Said, but the problem was it was pulsating in her heart. I gotta go see. I gotta go see. I gotta go see." She said, "Back already, my daughter?" "Yes." "Take your man-made cult books. Take your man-made ideas. Take your man-made dogmas. Hey, priest, I got something I want to tell you. Look here just a second. See that God over there you've been worshiping for years and ain't ever even moved? See him? See him? See him? He's been sitting there since great-great-great-great-granddaddy laid the cornerstone and he ain't never done nothing. But my daughter, stay with me. One day he will." She said, "I'm sorry. This message ain't a past tense message and a future tense message. It's a present tense message." She said, "Now if you and your four want to sit here and dry up and die and keep your vows to that dead God, you go right ahead. But as for me and my camels and for me and all my belongings, I may have to cross the Sahara Desert. I may have to face the sons of Ishmael. I may have to go through a bunch of persecution, but I'm going to see what's going on. I'm going to see. I'm going to persevere until I stand and see what's going on." Brother Bram, she said she got down there, said she come in real quietly. You imagine something was already different because there was some noise in there. Somebody saying amen. She come in real quiet and said, "Brother Bram," said she got a prayer card. He said 1964 version. Said she got a prayer card and sit down. Said she began to watch. Said here come Pastor Solomon. Pastor Solomon walked out there. Brother Bam said notice he stood there and said there couldn't be nothing hid from Solomon. Said he began to call out here and call out there and call out here and call out there. Can I have just 5-10 more minutes? I'll close. He began to call out of here. Brother Bam said every time it was amen, that's right, he didn't miss it there. Oh, can you imagine? She's seen more in 5 minutes time than she had seen in 50 years of sitting in that dead lodge. Brother Andrew, what are you trying to make a big mega church everybody's got to move to? Nonsense. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and the liberty is the Lord. If the Lord ain't there, there ain't going to be no liberty. But brother, if the Lord is there, there's going to be a whole lot of liberty. I'll tell you what the problem is. We've done read the menu. I remember when I started preaching, Brother Craig Moore goes down, Brother Tim Pruitt, he told me, he said, "Brother Andrew," he said, "if the Lord's called you," he said, "getting them books, getting them tapes, getting that Bible and study." He said, "it's going to take a whole lot to feed this bride in this day and time." Brother, that's been the best advice I was ever given. We've done read the menu. We know what's on the menu. Come on, church. Anybody like Cracker Barrel? My family and I went on vacation a few years ago. Went all the way down the beach. They wanted to go to some seafood restaurant. I said, let's go to Cracker Barrel. My family, isn't that right? Say amen, Tim. Raise your hand. They said, we got Cracker Barrel at home. I said, but listen, on Sundays they got a special chicken. It's good. It's Sunday. Let's go get it. When it's on the menu. See, if you go to Cracker Barrel, real simple. But if you go to Cracker Barrel, they got 7 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Each day has got a special on the menu. Now, if you go on there on Sunday, the special is, it's good too. The special is fried chicken. Real good. That's right. It's real good. You know what? Anything makes me mad as anything is to go on there on a Sunday and look at the menu and say, I want this fried chicken. We don't got that. Why not? It's on the menu. Do you see? There was a hunger in that woman's heart. She wanted to see the high priest. She was tired of a man-made priest. She wanted to feel the effects of the high priest. Let me tell you something, church. I'll tell you why the devil hates you. It's because you read the menu, and the menu said, we have a high priest. We have a high priest that can be touched. But then you sure did slow down. I want to drive this home, and then I got to go home. We've got a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Do you realize, oh God, I got to get to this and I got to go. I'll hold you all day. Do you love him? Do you love him? See? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. When you've read on the menu that this day is the day of salvation, and he which was, is, and he which is, will be. When you've read that on the menu, there's nothing the devil can tell you different than what you've read on the menu. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, which cannot have compassion, which cannot sympathize, which cannot be affected with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Then let us therefore. Oh, I got to close on this. Brother Terry, let us therefore come boldly. Somebody say it with me. Let us therefore come boldly. On earth, he was a prophet. In heaven, he is the priest. Coming back to the earth, he is King of Kings. Oh, I love this. He that was. I'm closing my Bible. He that was. That is Jesus the prophet. He that is. That is he, the high priest, making intercession. One who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, which is to come. That is the coming King on earth. He was the Word. He was the prophet. He is here as the high priest. He is coming as the King. Oh, brother. Matthew, I've done read the menu. If Sunday chicken's on the menu at Cracker Barrel, then the high priest is on the menu for Happy Valley. You say, what are you trying to get to? I'm trying to say a prophet stood and said, he's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, he's here the same in every way except a corporal body. He said, but let me tell you something. Hebrews 13:8 must be fulfilled. John 14:12 must be fulfilled. Hebrews 4 must be fulfilled. Acts chapter 3 must be fulfilled. But Bram said, I'm done here. But I'm getting wound up. This gets my motor running. Brother Branham said, I'm standing here tonight identifying the characteristics of Jesus as the same. He said, I'm going to pray and I'm going to call the prayer cards. He calls the prayer cards. He stops. He said, brother over there, you got a sinus trouble. Your name is so-and-so. The Lord sees you. I see you. Oh, who did he touch? He stops. Oh, who did he touch? And then he goes, who did the woman with the issue of blood touch? She touched the high priest. Brabham said, that man didn't touch me. He touched the high priest. Can I tell you the rest of the quote? And the high priest spoke to me. Woo! The high priest spoke to me. Listen, friends. Well, Brother Andrew, I ain't got an issue of blood and I ain't crawling through the crowd. But on Monday morning, when you got a question and you get down and touch the high priest and the high priest touches your pastor and your pastor comes out here and says, early this morning, early this morning, the Lord spoke to me and changed my entire thought. You say this day, this scripture is fulfilled. The Lord heard me. The high priest heard me. And the high priest got a hold of the man of God. Perseverant. Somebody, go wake Jesus. He's here. He's here. Somebody go touch him. Somebody go wake him. Esther went in there. Are you awake? Esther was real nervous. Imagine she was walking up there. You imagine all she had to persevere by? Esther. What if you get up there? What if you get up there and the king don't bless you? What's going to happen? Esther, what if you build your life around that message? And in the end, it ain't nothing but a bunch of books. And I heard Brother Darrell say the other day, somebody said something about they read a man's been dead for 50 years or something. Brother Darrell said they read Peter. He's been dead for a long time. A little common sense goes a long way. Esther, what if you get up there? Esther, what if you give your heart to God at a young age? And your whole life you go to church and go to camps and serve God. Listen to that message and read that Bible and pray. Shout and rejoice and scream, and your own friends you go to church with make fun of you. What if you get down there and it ain't what it is? Oh, but I like what Esther said. Esther said, well, I'm so determined. My family's suffering. I'm suffering. I'm coming to a place of adoption. I'm going in there to see the king. Oh God, I gotta quit. Brother Wayne, I'm going in there to see the king. And if I perish, then I perish. But I'm going to see the king. If I die, then I die. But I'm going to see the king. If I suffer, then I suffer, but I'm going to see the king. If I'm made fun of, I'm made fun of, but I'm going to see the king. Esther got to walking in there. She said, oh my, here it is. You ever heard Feast of Trumpets? It's a powerful tape. Baram took the Feast of Trumpets. He said, now that pyramid right there, he said, that's a symbol. He said, that pyramid's got seven chambers. Oh God, somebody, I gotta quit. Somebody come tackle me. I think Michael Matthew's big enough to do it. Listen, that pyramid, seven chambers. He said, now the top is where the king is. He said, when you get to the top, he said, it's that seventh guard that has the most opposition. It's that seventh guard. It's that seventh people. It's that seventh age that has the most opposition. Why, Brother Terry? Because the next step is not another age. It's the King's Chambers. Oh, I say this morning, we're going to fight, but we're going to see the King. We're going to be talked about, but we're going to see the King. I close by asking you one question this morning. Is there an Esther among us? Is there an Esther among us? Is there an Esther that says, if I die, let me die. If I perish, let me perish. But I'm going to see the King. I'm tired of creeds. I'm tired of dogmas. I'm tired of fables. I'm tired of falsehoods. I want to see the King. Come on, Esther, if you're in the building, won't you stand to your feet? I'm going to see the King. Come on, musicians. I'm going to see him, Brother Tony. I'm going to see the King, Brother Reese. I'm going to see him, Brother Jim. What about it? I may be made fun of, but I'm going to see him. I may be laughed at, but I'm going to see him. Talked about, but I'm going to see him. Run down, but I'm going to see him. I got to see the King. Got to see him. He said, Brother Andrew, I'm here this morning with a need in my body. Thank you for sharing that with me. Because I want to share something with you. Remember, come to the close of a tape. He said, now I've introduced the high priest. He said, now let's see if he's not here. Sir, line him up over here. Let him come. Prayer card one. Prayer card two goes by. Prayer card three. Wait a minute. He said, I see it moving right now. Oh, Brother Andrew, don't you know that was Brother Branham's day and Brother Branham's dad? I guarantee if you believe that, your church is dead. Because the prophet may be dead, but the God of the prophet is still in the camp. The shout of the King. Do you realize how many present day high priest testimonies we've got? Louisiana. A sister comes in the prayer line. Praying for a brother that's lost. 11 o'clock at night. He's at home in bed. She steps out. She touches the high priest. That same high priest goes and wakes her brother up. He thinks a rapture's taking place. He wrecks his truck trying to get to the church in his pajamas. I guess you want me to believe our God's dead, don't you? We've seen too much. Too many testimonies. So I've come to a place, if I perish preaching this message, then I perish. But I'm going to see the King. If I suffer, I suffer. But I'm going to see the King. Somebody told me when I first started ministering, they said, Brother Andrew, they said, you better be careful. They said, you're young. Said, there's going to come a time that you're going to sit down and look at your life. And you're going to look back at your teenage days and think of what you didn't do. I said, what do you mean by that? They said, well, are you going to think about all the sports? And I'm not preaching against sports, so legalists, take your swords down. Said, you're going to think about all the sports and all the trophies and all the games you could have won and all the cheers and all that you could have done. Then something got to cross my mind. Ever since I was a little boy, my grandmother brought me to church. All I've ever known has been church. I thank God for it. And you know what, Brother Skip? I've seen testimonies. I've seen trophies. I've seen victories. I've seen cheers. I may be 22. I may be young. I may be dumb. But there's one thing I can say. I've seen my God in action. And that's the greatest confirmation of my faith in my heart, is to know the God that called me and chose me and saved me and redeemed me is still with me. What about it this morning? If I perish, then I perish. You think you can sing that, buddy? If I perish, I perish. But hey, if you perish, then you perish. But guess what? We'll all see you in the future home.
If I perish, let me perish. If going to see the King.
Oh, let's just worship Him for a minute.
If I perish, then I perish. Oh, I'm going to see the King. Well, if I perish,
what about it?
Let I perish. But I'm going to see the King. Through hard trials and tribulation, I've been amused.
Oh, yes.
And it's You.
Through
our trials and tribulations, I've been abused.
I mean, that's your testimony.
And it's You. But if I perish, let me perish. But I'm going to see. If I perish, let me perish. Well, I'm going to see the King.
Let's just worship Him for a minute.
If I perish, let me perish. But I'm going to see the King. Just let me perish. But I'm going to see the King. If I perish, just let me perish. Because I'm going to see the King. If my mother, my father, my sister, or my brother, if they don't go, I'm going to see the King. I'm going. Well, if my mother, if my mother, my sister, or my brother, if they don't go, I'm going to see the King.
Are you going? I'm going.
Well, if I perish,
if I perish,
let me. Suffer.
mine, all mine. I've got a new home over in Zion, and it's mine, it's mine, all mine. I've got a new name, it's over in Zion, and it's mine, it's mine. It's mine, all mine. I've got a new name over in Zion, and it's mine, all mine. Listen. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus.
Stop me, you better, you better, you better.
Out of my way.
Don't Jesus a mighty long time. I'm running both night and day. I don't have time for idle talk. It may cause me to lose this race. Help me, please don't stop me. Move out of my way. I'm gonna keep pressing on. Gotta keep pressing on. Little bride, keep pressing on. There's a higher calling in the Lord. Pressing.
How many can say it's been good to be in church this morning? Glory!
Glory!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Oh, praise the Lord. Don't ask another preacher to come up and dismiss, but we'll pray. Oh, Jesus, how thankful, how wonderful to be in your presence, realizing that this is only a shadow of a shadow of a shadow of what the eternal presence of Almighty God will be and be like. We thank you for our brother. We thank you for his life, his testimony, the gift you put in his heart, the gift you put in his life, his desire, his focus, his motive. Lord, not to put roses on a brother, but we love our brother. We're thankful for him that he used his gift, his talent for the Lord Jesus. Give him safe travels back up to West Virginia. He's got to speak tonight. We just thank you, Lord, most of all for your presence. Oh, God, how we thank you for coming and meeting with us. We know that you have one provided place of worship, and that's where the Word is made manifest for the hour. We thank you, Lord, for coming our way. May this sweet spirit go with your bride, go with your children, Lord, the rest of the afternoon until we meet back here again Wednesday. We ask, God, that you would just bless your children, keep each one safe on the highway. We give you praise. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we love you so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. Brother Harry's going to sing a little something as we go. It's been good to be in church. God bless you.
Keep on pressing on. Little bride, keep pressing on. Keep on pressing. Stop me, turn me aside.